This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Okay, Dynasty Podcasts, live from Dynasty HQ. My name is Haima Black. I've been hosting this podcast for 400 years, and I'm here tonight with Kari. First time on Dynasty Podcast. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You're having a good year, it looks like.
Nice. I'm glad it looks that way, but I am also having a good year.
So. Good, yeah. So the perception matches the reality.
Yeah,
man. So thank you for coming up. You know, I've been seeing your name a lot, and I always say this on the podcast, and it's always true. It's like when I see somebody who hasn't been on the podcast who's been doing great work in Chicago, it's like this kind of like red flag goes up, and I'm like, why haven't we had this person on yet? So I'm really glad we're able to make this chat happen.
Well, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, you know, we always start with, you know, checking in with artists, just kind of about their background, their origin, before we get to the present day. Like, how did music start for you? How did this begin to happen?
I've definitely always been a fan of music. I've always loved music. I think I started taking it seriously in high school when I, like, just realized that people my age did record their own music and put it out and didn't feel weird about it. So that's when I started seriously putting it out and, like, seeing how people felt about it and getting feedback. I used to record, like, on Mixcraft, like, on the laptop in my bedroom when I was way younger. Me and my cousins have a bunch of songs. And when I was young, my stepfather was a producer, and he just influenced me a lot, just with his music taste and the stuff. He had rappers around us, too. He made the beats, so a bunch of, like, underground dudes from the 2000s, whatever, used to be around me. Shout out Akbar. That's my dude.
Was it ever, like, Crucial Conflict or people like that, like, at the house?
I mean, no, they weren't at my house.
Okay.
But
you said, like, early 2000s, and I'm just like, that's, like,
no, no. I guess I should be more specific. Like, it wasn't, there was some underground shit, you know?
Okay, yeah. Like, that's cool, though. Yeah. So music was, like, in your life from an early age and seeing people actually create music.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. I got to see the recording process at a young age, which was fun. Like, when I was, like, 5 or 6, I got to shout stuff on the mic, you know? There was definitely a gray area where that wasn't in my life, but having that early on in my life definitely mattered.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's got to be an influence. I think that early on support is really crucial. And did you mentioned, like, making music with your cousin. Was the family supportive of that being a thing that you might do?
Well, I mean, when I was making music with my cousin, it was super just for fun, you know?
Right.
It was just in the bedroom. They didn't take it seriously. My family, when I started taking it seriously, my family started taking it seriously.
How old were you when you started to be like, this might actually be a thing I want to do?
When I was 17.
Yeah.
16, 17. I don't remember. It was one of those.
But it was in that high school, like that mid-high school, junior, senior level.
Yeah, I dropped out after my junior year to make music. I think when I decided I was dropping out of high school, that's when I was like, it's a possibility that I could just make music.
That's probably the moment.
You know, it's a little deeper than that. I wasn't like, I'm leaving school, but, you know, I thought about it a little bit.
Yeah. And you're what, 21, 22 now?
Yeah, I'm 21.
So this was not that long ago in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, not really in the grand scheme of things.
But it probably feels like
nothing is that long ago.
Nothing is that long ago in the grand scheme of things. There were dinosaurs here not that long ago. That's pretty funny. So, you know, bring us into, you know, going from like deciding to leave high school to starting up to make a name for yourself in Chicago. Like, how did that transition start to happen?
I can't put a name on it.
Yeah.
Directly. I think just while I was still in high school, and the fact that kids who went to other high schools that I never even visited like that or hung out with knew who I was and were calling me Carl. You know, my name's Kari.
Right.
You know, but I used to rap as Carl. And
right.
People would be like, are you Carl? Are you Carl? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I rap. They're like, oh, yeah, I heard of you. Like, yeah, I fuck with you, man. You should keep doing what you're doing. They're like, blah, blah, blah. And I was in a group called Supreme Regime.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were making music. I really liked what they were doing back then, you know. They were one of the first groups of younger people in our generation to put themselves out there. So, like, they were a little older than me. Then I started rapping with them, and they helped me, like, get my name out there a little bit.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, you're doing that. When does Hurt Everybody come into the picture?
Hurt Everybody happened when I was 17, or 16 going into 17.
That's so 17 young.
17 going into, I don't remember. 16 going into 17, I think.
But, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm older, so I'm just like, man, that sounds so young. Even though, like, I remember being in high school, and, like, I was active in a different way. I was doing radio, so I wasn't a musician, but I was, like, out there. And I guess that is the age where, especially, like, you're so passionate about music in high school. But at the same time, most high school musicians don't start to get, like, hype in their own city around their
project.
Well,
honestly, because of what... the energy that surrounded all the other young artists. In the
well,
studio,
true, yeah.
Like, they got it cooking. I think for I don't know if I can speak for everybody, but when I saw, like, kids these days doing that shit, you know, when I saw kids these days on Conan,
that was a moment, man. I remember them like it was at the Chicago Theater, right?
I think so. Yeah, it was. You're right. It was at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah, and it was such a big moment.
Yeah, I was just like, cool, like. Kids our age can make music on that level. They can, like,
on a
make
national
music
scale
and be heard. Mm-hmm. And, like, and then it wasn't just about, like, seeing them on a stage. Like, I've always had dreams of being on a stage, but just like that, it was like it was something I could relate to and connect to, and it was, like, you know, accessible, and it tasted good.
But, yeah.
So that was, I don't know. And it was from the Shy, so I don't know. It was just a lot of good. I'm sure I'm not the only kid that felt inspired by that
shit. No.
So, like,
I mean,
hella
this,
people, you know.
There's a whole wave that, like, you know, talk about this on this podcast a lot, blah, blah, blah. Like, there was the Chance Kids These Days moment, and that inspired
so
many creators.
When fucking, I was 16, I was 16 or whatever when Acid Rap dropped. And when that shit dropped, that tilted.
That was a moment.
Yeah, that was a moment. That tilted the creative axis for Chicago, too, like.
Well, and I've said this a lot on this podcast, but the difference between that and other cultural moments in Chicago, because you have moments where, like, Kanye West came out, and, like, you know, decades before that, there have been all these other musical moments in Chicago. But the difference is when that moment happened, and we're still seeing it happen in real time, but, like, when Acid Rap happened, when 10 Day happened, when Kids These Days played, you know, Conan, stuff like that, the difference is... all the young talent in the city had iPhones and Pro Tools and Fruity Loops and MacBooks and things like that, and they could actually start creating on their own. They didn't have to, like, you know, in a lot of the other cultural moments in Chicago, if you don't own a guitar, basically, you were just like, well, that's nice. That's happening for other people. Mm. And now it's like you can be a creator because we have all these digital hardware and software tools that you can just start activating on your own. Mm. But was it, you know, I guess, like, was it weird for you to... be that young and have people start really recognizing Hurt Everybody the way that they did?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Especially because I used to get high. Like, not on, like, crazy drugs, but I used to smoke weed, you know, and walk around. And, like, I would just be chilling, smoking, and then people who I have no... like, you get paranoid when you smoke, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you, like... and we in Chicago. I don't know these motherfuckers. They walking up like... oh, excuse me. Can I curse?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I don't know. You're just chilling and you don't know people, and but they know you. That shit's always weird, no matter where you are.
Sure.
So it takes a while. It takes. It's a
especially if you're young and high.
Yeah. So, like, it's a process to be like, oh, shit, I'm an artist. Like, oh, people are going to, if you know, that's what I'm putting myself out there. So
true.
As I'm glad that it's like, oh, man, I heard this. I like it better than, like, you know, Shade or something.
Well, yeah, that's the alternative for sure. And you're a tall guy, so it's like you stand out. People
and I had to realize
you.
That, too. I had to realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. No, it's a real thing walking around and, like, just people looking at you. And then you, for whatever reason, we're in America. You never know why someone's, like, looking at you.
Sure.
There's signs to it or something.
Yeah.
And I guess I get stared at a lot because I look crazy and my hair is crazy. And I'm tall.
And you're just a tall guy. Like, when you walked in here, I was like, oh, okay, shit.
I forget that I'm tall. Someone has to remind me that I'm tall. I'm just, like, a human.
Because you live in your body. You're just like, this is just what life is. Yeah.
And then I look around a room and I'm like, oh, shit, I see everyone.
Like, I see everyone's bald spot.
Damn.
So when Hurt Everybody ends, when that comes to a close, what's your mindset? Are you like, that's it for me for music? Or did you always know you were going to go on and do other things?
No, hell no. I was too young to ever even feel that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thoughts around that moment in time. But for the most part, it was just like, you know, building back up, refinding like the joy and just creating, you know, that, because that was, I put so much effort and time into into Hurt Everybody, and then it just imploded one day. So I like, you know, just building, finding, I'm still like on that, you know, search for just finding, not the, I realize like, oh, I love making music again. That takes time. Every artist has to go through that, you know. So when you're passionate about something, that feeling is fleeting, and you just gotta like feel that. But I love music forever, and I've always known that I wanna make music forever and create music forever. So nothing like, I've been in groups before that didn't work out. Yeah.
It's just Hurt Everybody was just more visible, so everybody saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. And but like I even like that didn't even bother me.
Yeah,
it was more so just like it was a lot of stuff, but I don't know. To me, I just had to like enjoy making product again and putting it out and marketing myself. Like it takes so much energy to market something, a product, and we had to like.
Yeah,
I feel like Hurt Everybody had that down. Kind of the brand was fine. I didn't have to try too hard. It was like, cool. This is what it is, man. Now I got to redo that shit. Fuck and rebuild.
Start all over again.
Start all over. You know, I don't have, you know. We were verified on Twitter. I'm not verified. I'm not verified no more, bro.
That's the struggle. Like, I got to rebuild from scratch. We were verified on Twitter.
I got to get re-verified, bro.
Yeah.
But
no,
that's
sure.
None, that's just not important. But
no, but it is interesting that, like, it's, let alone the art and the passion and the work that goes into making music, and then once that's even done, you're like, oh, well, shit, I got to start the marketing side of this now, too. It's like a whole different craft.
Absolutely.
It's exhausting.
And just, like, deciding if you're somebody who even has the energy to deal with that shit.
Right.
Business is business. And some people are in the music industry and don't care about, like, I'm not going to say don't care about music at all, but, like.
But their craft is the social media side, or the business side, or the contract side.
Yeah,
the negotiation.
Just, and there's like always, there's always something that is, you know, in any industry, there is like something that is marketable. There's something that is like textbook or, you know, everyone decides is marketable, but anything is marketable. You just got to put a place value on it. You
that's
know?
True. You can convince anyone to buy anything.
Yeah.
Now, in the present day, you know, you're making art under your own name, under Kari. Bring us into, you know, developing this new project that you recently put out, No Time to Explain.
Mm-hmm. Bring us into that?
Well, like, where did that idea come from? How long has it been in the works? Like, you know, give us the origin story of this project and what went into making it.
I think No Time to Explain just encompassed that whole period of time, really, even down to the name. Like,
yeah.
Not a lot changed about me, my process. For this project, kind of is replicative of what I was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did it with Mulatto Beats.
Mm-hmm.
We were making music before Hurt Everybody started.
Right.
You know, we were in Supreme Regime together. I did it with this other dude, Cangelosi. Shout out to him. You know, but the whole, like, energy we put into the project was, like, how we went into making all the music we've made before. And I'm definitely going through, like, we all are growing, and it was kind of just like putting a cap on that. I feel like this one was like a shedding a lot of that time, really. A lot of adolescence we had,
mm-hmm.
even down to like the creative process and just the sounds we put into it, you know.
So go ahead.
No, it's all good. But we're coming out of that kind of, we're just all growing and evolving in different directions. And I think this project is like something that otherwise one wouldn't have come out. These sounds would have never been heard had I not put them out. And I do think they embody a spirit of this, like the time that we're kind of leaving, or a time that we needed to see put into, you know.
It sounds like there's some finality with that. Like it's providing some closure for, for lack of a better word, your kind of adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, 21 is such a like turning. I mean, this sounds so obvious to say, but it's such a turning point age where it's like you kind of transition out of being like a, you know, late teenager basically, to being like, okay, like this is happening. Like I'm here. Like I'm an adult.
And my perspective, you know, has changed in a lot of ways, and I'm still making music. That's not changing. So
right.
It's just about like offering myself and giving people something to, you know, to understand how I operate and how I move and why I say the stuff I do. And to me, it's kind of like, that's, I think like that's a part of how I create.
Yeah.
You know,
Now, working with Mulatto Beats, like you said, you've been working with him for forever. What was that like, connecting for this particular project?
I mean, it just like feels like first nature. The way we create is based off how we feel, like how we vibe. We have similar tastes and similar ideas. And it's really fluid working with him. He knows, like, when he knows a beat that I would want to get on, and what he knows exactly how to, like, place, help me organize myself, I guess.
Yeah.
Without saying so many words. It's like having a brother. He's really like a brother. You know what I'm saying?
That creative shorthand is really important, man. I mean, you know, that's something that's really, like, you can't reproduce that inorganically.
Yeah.
Like, to connect with somebody that you've worked with for years and that you know how each other operate, and then, like, be able to trust their version of what they're telling you and how it relates to your art. That's, that kind of thing's important, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. It helps me reflect. It helps him reflect. It helps us reflect together.
Yeah. So the project's out now. When did it come out? Was it, it was earlier this year, right?
Mm-hmm. It came out last month, actually. April 7th or something like
this
that.
This year has been so many years all at once. It's really hard to place time.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we went from, like, Kanye's back on Twitter to, like, oh, no. You know, like, just so much has happened this year.
Yeah.
Every day feels like a year, so it's really hard to place when things have happened now.
I like it. That's why I like No Time to Explain, because that's
right.
Kind of like, that's how I feel like, I feel like that's how time's moving for everyone right now. We all need to reflect on ourselves.
And it's hard to find that time.
It's so hard to find it. There's almost no time. There's almost no time. So
it's self-explanatory.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like we do share, everyone involved in putting energy into, like, this culture, meaning the artists,
right,
and the product, we share something. And I feel like we're learning how to communicate and learning how to getting closer to what it is we share with each other, what the true common passion is, and, like, why we are interested in what we're interested in, why we love what we love, and how we're going to, like, shape that in the future, how we're going to, you know, change that, how we change what it is that we are communicating to each other and building, and, you know. I feel like it's so weird, but all this controversy comes down to. It just helps us communicate better.
Yeah.
That's what this project, like, even No Time to Explain, it just helped me communicate better. It helped me, like, communicate a lot of my ideas better. It helps me push me forward to the next step, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's that always, like, you're always developing, always learning.
Yeah.
Now, with this project, you know, the fact that you've had multiple musical ventures in the past and you've worked with various people, like, what did those earlier experiences teach you that you knew going into this thing, this project, that you might not have known, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago? Like, what kind of mistakes were you able to avoid this time, or learning experiences?
Marrying my ideas, mm-hmm. like, not afraid, being afraid to let them go, and, like, watch how they evolve into other ideas, and doing that with myself too. Things that I place on a pedestal, things that I wanna, being like, hearing a song, hearing something that I said 3 months ago, and, like, that's such a, like, I'm not putting this song out now, you know?
Right. Like, not feeling like you have to put something out just because.
Yeah.
If you don't connect to it now.
And that's just one aspect of it. Like, just, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and again, like, you know, since you have, you know, you've lived a lot in your time as an artist, it sounds like, and you've had a lot of different experiences. You know, what kind of advice would you give to any younger artists, or maybe not even younger, but, like, any artists who are looking to get started themselves, or maybe they're already in something and they're like, you know what, I think I need to change.
Don't be afraid to, like, take a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to take risks against what even your, you know, even what your the closest person to you has to say, tells you not to go. I don't know anything. Today, my Uber driver was saying his son is 15 and wants to make beats and is, like, kind of lost, doesn't know if he wants to go to college and stuff like that. And I was like, just tell... he was telling me... I was just telling him how, like, the curriculum... I only know CPS, but, like, when I was in high school, I just felt like the curriculum obviously isn't geared towards everyone, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like there is a direction and a path that everyone can take, and it's just kind of up to them to, you know, find that. And if you have, like, if there's really something that you feel like you need to do, or if you even get a niche, scratch it. Yeah. I guess I'm just taking, like, a long route to saying that in so many ways, but...
No, and then the journey, I mean, if I'm hearing you right, it doesn't have to be academic either. It can happen outside of school, even if you're young.
It can be anything.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It can come from anywhere.
What's on deck for you in 2018 now that the project is out and, you know, we're about to hit the summer season, so this is, like, when everything's going on.
I'm putting out a project with my friend Green Slime.
Oh, yeah. Green Slime's doing cool stuff in the city.
That's my homie. He's the man.
He's someone we got to get on this podcast.
Yeah, he's an interesting motherfucker to talk to, too. You got to go on his show.
Dude, I would love that. It's this thing where, like, I'm always behind the mic. Well, I mean, I guess you're behind the mic either way, but I'm never on the interview side. I'm always interviewing, which is cool. I love doing this, but it's very rare that I get asked to, like, come answer questions, and I love doing that. I don't get to do it enough.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I don't know how I am with this. I just wing it. And I'm like,
no, man, you're doing great.
I talk in circles a lot and shit. Whatever.
Yeah. But we got on me being like, oh, talk to me. Like, put me on here. But, like, for you, what else is coming up for you this year? You started to talk about the project with Green Slime.
Doing that, I'm alluding towards, like, a debut solo body of work. Mm-hmm. I like my production a lot. So I'm working on, like, a self-produced body of work. I'm actually working on some visual. I'm writing up a treatment right now with a friend for a couple songs, for a couple singles. Just putting out more content. But that project with Green Slime, alluding towards my project, and just doing a lot more cool shit, content in every way I can.
So there's stuff coming.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of stuff coming.
How can people find your music, find you on social, spell your name? Because you're like me. You got a name that people are going to mess up.
Yeah.
I've lived that my whole life. So make it easy for people to find you.
All right. My name is Kari. My name is Kari. An easy way to remember it is Iraq spelled backwards.
Dude, there you go. That is easy.
Iraq spelled backwards. You can find me... you can Google me, Kari, musical artist, Kari Chicago. When you Google me, a lot of religious stuff pops up because my name is of Islamic nature.
Oh, okay.
But I'm Kari. My name is Kari. You can find me everywhere. I'm on Twitter, Kari, 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 three times, Q-A-R-I, Q-A-R-I, Q-A-R-I. I'm on Instagram, FatherCarl_.
Okay.
My name is Kari. Don't forget that.
That's easy, man. Right out. And the project is called No Time to Explain.
Yes, go listen to No Time to Explain. Go watch my music videos on the YouTube.
On the YouTube, yeah. On the internet.
Do your Googles, man.
That's the quote from this article, or from this interview. Do your Googles. Kari, I'm really glad we got to catch up on this interview and really, like, meet each other and delve into the cool stuff you've been doing, man.
Thank you for having me. I don't know why this is so awkward for me. I hope I don't look that awkward.
No, you sounded fine, man. I thought you had good answers for everything.
All right, thank you. I'm getting used to being interviewed, man. It's something weird about, I don't like being the center of attention. Well, if I do, is I want it to be when I want to be the center of attention.
Sure, sure.
Just thrown into the spotlight. But
no, I thought you sounded great, man. I think you got it. So yeah. I'm really glad we start this. We'll talk to you more in the future as you have new things going on, man. But this was fun. You killed it.
Thank you so much, man.
I dig it, man. Kari, thank you so much, man.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.